Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Praise God. I want to preach the best message I've ever preached in my life this morning. Better than last week's message. You know, that's the way I feel about it. You know, I got to be excited. I tell you the truth, I get excited about the Word of God. I get excited when I read in the Bible and something leaps out to me and I'm like, oh, Jesus, you're so amazing. And then all I do is share that with y'all. You know, that's all I do. I just read and pray and then get the revelation and share it with y'all. Y'all just get to live wherever I'm at. And so we've been preaching this message here for several weeks, thank you, on about that you are VIPs. You are very important people. Everybody say I'm a VIP. Look at the person beside you and say, you're a VIP. Man, I'm telling you, see, some of y'all don't believe it. I looked at your face and think, yeah, I'm a VIP. You see, it's a revelation you have to catch. Folks, listen to me. If you were born again, if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, if you're ready to go to heaven and meet Jesus, you're going to walk up there and say, hey, Jesus, how you doing? You're okay. You're comfortable. You know you're right with him because you know his blood's washing your sins away. Well, let me tell you something. You are a very important person because the Bible says "And all of heaven is for you. All of heaven wants to come and help you. All of heaven wants to move on your behalf. All of heaven is there for your needs, your whatever would come up in life. It's all there for you. Now, you tell me that ain't a special person? When Jesus was about to be crucified or they were coming to get him in the garden, he said, they said, do you want us to fight for you? And he says, no, you know, I could call 12 legion of angels right now if I wanted to. Folks, that's power and authority, right? 12 legions of angels, if it was like a Roman legion, been like 72,000 angels. I mean, can you imagine Jesus have that power to call 72,000 angels? Just boom, they were just going to come down to his rescue. One angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 people in one night. So you got 72,000 of them standing there. You don't think they could throw down some major whooping? Y'all with me? Okay, well, wait a minute. Jesus said, I want y'all to have the same power and authority. I want y'all to walk in the same thing. Well, wait a minute. You don't have angels at your disposal? Huh. Hebrews tells us that they're ministers to the heirs of salvation. See, now y'all looking at me like I went crazy. I ain't crazy. I'm telling you the truth. Water, whole water. Just nothing like it. Get it in the local bookstore. Do a commercial right quick. Okay, so I've talked to y'all, and I can't go back and review because I got something I really want to tear into this morning. And so we're going to go to the sixth thing we talked about. Look, if you've missed these, if you've missed the series, you want to go back, just go to thewaterhole.net. You come up on our website. You can go to the media page. We're about a week delayed. This message will be about a week before it comes up onto the website. And you can go there. You can watch it in its entirety. You can see the whole thing. You can listen to it audioly. If it did, write that one down as a new word. Should be a word. And so, you know, there's no excuse, okay? So I'm going to go on here. So I talked last week, just to review on that for just a second, about that you are a philanthropist. You have the power to do good. It's within you to do good. You have the power to do good. If the Spirit of God is dwelling on the inside of you, and God is all absolutely good, he doesn't even cast a shadow. Hello? Then he lives in you. You have the ability to do good, but we looked at what the word good means, and it means to be a philanthropist. It means that you have the ability to, you're so wealthy that you just have an abundance of good that you want to give. Well, Ephesians 1:3 says you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, if you're sitting here today saying, Pastor, I am tired and weary and weak and I don't know, come here from Sikkim about nothing. I'm barely even feeding myself. I mean, my gosh, everything's going to pieces. The world's going to pieces. Listen to me. You've just sowed all of that from the world into you. You don't know what the truth is Because that's not the truth. The truth is that you are a philanthropist. The truth is you are blessed. The truth is that what a definition of a philanthropist is you take from the reserves that have been given to you, have been designated to you, and you distribute them. Come on. Everybody has the ability to go tell somebody else about Jesus. Okay? You have that power. You have that ability. Okay. Takes me to the sixth thing, which is today. The sixth thing is, though, that you've got to understand is you're not going to walk in anything that I have taught you unless you grab hold of this one, that you have to have and understand that you have the power to learn. Everybody wants to say, well, I can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's just a sorry excuse for not trying. Hello? Well, I'm preaching good. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much you think you know. All of us can keep learning. Are y'all with me? I don't ever stop learning. I'm always wanting to learn. Okay? I'm always wanting to learn more about Jesus, learn more about the world, learn more and understand everything that's going on. I want to learn. And I find people in life that do know more than I do. And so I saddle up beside them and get hold of them and say, hey, you know, I want to learn what you're doing. I want to learn, how did you do this? How did you get from here to there? I want to know. Are y'all with me? If you come to the place in life that you just feel like you have learned enough, you have just grown all you need to grow, you got it, you know, you're all right, you're about to end in disaster. Because something's going to come along bigger than you, bigger than the knowledge you know, and you're going to get yourself in trouble. Okay? So, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, look at verse 28. He says, Jesus is speaking. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, look, you're going to have to learn of me. Now, you know, I grew up in a country home. I grew up in a ranching family. I grew up, you know, feeding the cows and farming and, you know, just everything that has to do with ranch life. And I don't know a whole lot about city life. All right. It's a different world. But I know a lot about ranching. And I learned it from my father. My father taught me. He saddled me up there and he taught me. He taught me how to saddle a horse. He taught me how to feed animals. He taught me how to grind grain. He taught me how to drive a truck. He taught me how to drive a tractor. He taught me. I learned from my father, right? And he taught me his ways. But you know, I have to say, and if my father was here, I'd tell him right now, that there's a few things he taught me that he wasn't right. There was an easier way. All right? He taught me what he learned from his father or whatever he learned it from, but, you know, things have changed now. Let me just give you an example. I used to see my father sit down every evening and talk on the phone because that was the only way to arrange business. And we had party lines. Come on, y'all remember those days? And nowadays, what do? We got phones crawling out our ears, you know? I mean, phones, it's no big deal. You talk on the phone all day long. You do business all day long, whatever. Right? Okay. Times change. Things change. And we have to learn. Jesus wants us to learn of him because only his ways are going to work. All right? Now, go in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. I want to major on this story right here. In the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Okay, it says, but the children of Israel, we're in the book of Joshua, we're talking about Joshua, they've just defeated Jericho, they've just had great victories, you know, marched around the city, the walls fell down, they're getting ready, you know, they're taking the promised land. Man, it had been some exciting times, you know. So it says here in verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass against the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against them. Okay, now God told them, so look, go into Jericho, take Jericho, plunder everything out there. But all the accursed things, the things I'm telling you, leave them alone. Just don't touch those things. Burn them up. You don't need them. Okay? But this guy, he didn't do it. Nobody knew it. Nobody saw him but God. So Joshua sent men from Jericho. Now, I gotta tell you all this. I have pronounced this Ai forever. Okay? But then you get to looking it up, and really, I guess it was must have been, and I got a couple here from Louisiana this morning, so this is for y'all. It must have been like a French Cajun province, because it's really pronounced Ai. So they were going over there to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon to the east side of Bethel. And they spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and they spied it out. They returned to Joshua and said, do not let all the people go up, but let's let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack, because we're don't weary all the people, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up from there to the people, but they fled before the men of Ai, and the people of Ai struck down and 36 men, and they chased them from before the gates, and they struck down. So they got defeated. They went up, but there was so much confidence. They said, look, there's no sense. It's just a small town. We'll go up there, man. We'll put a whoop on these boys, and it'll all be over with. And it's no sense getting the whole army out. But they got beat. They were defeated, and they run. And so it says, the last part of that says, they struck them down and says, therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes. He fell to the earth, his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, and the elders of Israel and they all threw dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and to dwell on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land hear it. They surround us. They cut off our name from the earth. What then will you do with your great name? Do you notice right off the bat, Joshua is the typical human being. Things do not go like he thinks they should go. And immediately it's all God's fault. Hello? Immediately, he doesn't even bring it into his prayer to God that possibly somebody did something wrong. It's, oh God, why have you done this? Why have you delivered us to this hand? Why have you done this? And why have you done that? He's always saying, oh Lord, oh Lord. Sound vaguely familiar to our lives? That we pray and we say, God, we want you to do this for us. We want you to do that for us. And then it doesn't work out the way we think it should. And so immediately we just assume it's his fault. He didn't move on our behalf for some reason. Folks, I hate to tell you, but we're crazy. We're crazy folks. A God who doesn't make any mistakes, who does everything perfect, and immediately we assume he must be wrong. So I love this. It goes on. Verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying on your face? Israel sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have stolen and deceived. And they are the ones that put it in their own stuff. He's like, what are you talking about? It ain't me. It's you. Folks, I hate to tell you this, but there's times in our life that we're having difficulties, and the difficulties are brought about by ourselves. Our stubbornness, our hard-heartedness, our ignorance. I don't mean your lack of intelligence. I mean just the lack of knowledge. You keep wondering why every evening when you go in and poke Mama Bear with a stick, she gets mad. I mean, quit it. Don't poke her. I mean, sometimes we just don't have good sense. You know, there's that old John Wayne movie, I forget what the name of it is, where he's in Ireland and he comes in into the house and says, "Woman of the house!" I've tried that a few times. It never has worked. Never been profitable. Never been profitable. I just quit. Okay, so what I'm saying to you today is you have the power to learn. When things aren't going right, then you're going to have to stop and you're going to have to reevaluate what you're doing and the direction you're going. It could be in your thinking. It could be in your actions. It could be in the hardness of your heart. It could be in just the lack of knowledge that you have. But you have to stop and you have to reevaluate your life and say, okay, now what's going on here? You know, the Bible says, to he who desires friends, he must show himself friendly. If you say, well, I don't have any friends, well, then maybe you're not friendly. You know? The one I like is the Proverbs. I can't call it to mind right now which one it is, where it says that he who shows up early at his neighbor's house and knocked on the door is not always going to be received. Like, yeah, I like that one. Right? See, sometimes in life we just have to understand that it's us. I'll never forget years ago, we were I was actually the youth pastor, so this is way back there. And we'd taken a bunch of kids to camp, and there was this one obnoxious young man that you just wanted to choke him. And when he said he was going, you just like, oh, God. And so I said, well, you know, I can't tell him to stay. I mean, I said, you know, God loves him too. So, and sure enough, he was being his royal self and just, I mean, everybody was wanting to kill him and you know, nobody was having any Christian thoughts in the middle of the Christian camp about this young man. And finally, I lost it. And he had done something and was just talking and yakking and irritating everybody. And I grabbed him and I pushed him up against the wall, and I told him, I said, you know, I started out in the flesh, you know, but it turned around, it came out God, thank goodness. And I said, what is wrong with you? And then instantly, God gave me a word of knowledge about that young man in my anger. It was crazy. And I just said to him, your problem is that you don't even feel good about yourself. I know what happened to you, and you've been beat down, and you got to forgive them, because if you forgive them, then God will change your heart, and then you can be a decent human being we can be around. It was a great prophetic word delivered to him. And tears came to this young man's eyes, and he says, you know, you're absolutely right. And I was like, what did I say? You know, because it was all just in a moment. And then he told me a story about his life and what had happened to him. I prayed with him right there. God delivered him. And that young man changed. I saw him transform right there that day. And today he's gone on to become a successful businessman, and God has blessed him in life and everything he's done. All because of that moment, he chose to take what it was in his heart and turn it around and let God then heal him of that and turned him into something that was glorious. And we just really wanted to just send him home, you know, because nobody wanted to put up with him, but there was a reason for that. Sometimes in life, there is a reason for the inside of what's going on in your life and the reason why you feel like you do and the reason why you're thinking like you do, because there's damage on the inside of you and damage on the inside of your heart that you're not letting God heal. So therefore, it's creating you to be this, you know, monster that nobody wants to be around. Hello. Woohoo! Aye! It's a good message. It's going to get better. Come on. I don't want to be like that. I want to be the man of God God called me to be, all right? And I don't want the obstacles and the problems and the damaging emotional things that come against life to come into my life and to keep me from being able to go on with Jesus and to learn and see that my prayers are answered and that the path and the road that he has for me, that I miss it because I've gotten off left or right. Hello? I want you to look at another psalm, or look at a psalm, Psalms 46. Psalms See, we have got to learn God's ways so that we can get in sync with Him. Because what we're doing is our mentality is we're living our lives and wanting to rub the magic genie and get God to do what we want Him to do as we go through. But that puts us in charge of our lives. And the key to it is that you gave your life to Jesus. He is in charge and you're following. He says, take up your cross and follow me. It's not, oh, okay, now you say, well, go on down the road and do what you want to. Get your own cross and just run on down there and do what you want to. Hello? You know, you can go to different regions, different places, even in the United States, you find, you know, of course, different customs and things that we have, but you find different spirit and people. And when you look around and you go study history about this area, because I'm a big history buff and I'm always reading the history of this area, and you go look at the people, the founding people that came over here in the 1840s when this area started getting settled, they were hard, hard, tough people. The ones that weren't died and left all of y'all. And you're the products of hard, independent, spirited people who came this way in search of something new. And it stays in us. And if we don't watch ourselves, we become our own hard, independent countries within ourselves. And when we do that, you've set yourself up as God, not God. You've set yourself up as the ruler and God of your world. And when you do that, you get out of sync with God Almighty. Now, Psalms 46 is a great Psalms here. Let me just read it, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Amen. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Well, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage, the kingdoms are moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth, who makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and he cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You see that part right there where he says, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. Revelation talks about a river that flows right out from underneath the throne of God. But let me put it to you this way. There is a river, there is a flow to the things of God. And if you can understand that flow and get into that flow, you will find victory and success in your life. But if you're always wanting to paddle upstream, or you don't like the flow of God, so you stop along the riverbank and camp out, or you go get your own grubbing hoe and try to dig you a little trench to make the river flow where you want it to flow to. Hello. If you're going down the river and you always say, well, I want to go over there, you're not in the flow. Let's just think about this. Let's just look at some really simple things. The flow of God's river. Well, the first thing you can say about the flow of God's river is it's love. You say, yeah, but there's really unlovely people. I don't necessarily want to love them. I don't know what to tell you. If you want to stay in the flow of the things of God, you're going to have to love them. God's river has forgiveness in it. God's river has mercy in it. Some things you may not understand, but in God's river, there's also forceful things. He is also a God of war. There's rapids in his river. There's some still places in his river. There's some places that are swifter to get you moving on through. But if you don't understand the flow, if you don't understand that there's a river that you You are simply, when you got saved and gave your life to Jesus, you were simply got you a canoe. And you got in that canoe and you got on the river of God. But are you going to cooperate with the river of God or not? Your job is to paddle and work with the river. You can't fight the river. I'm talking about a real river. You get on a river in a canoe or a kayak or something like that, you cannot fight the river. You can only navigate the river. Hello? There's a river of God, church. And that's why everybody gets so messed up, is because people begin to come up with other rivers, other tributaries, other things that they want to incorporate in their life. And listen to me, you cannot hate somebody, be ugly to somebody, you know, wish somebody dead and be flowing in the river of God. I know that they may deserve it. I know that they need a stick taken up to the side of their head. Now, you can have those thoughts. You can have those feelings. They're emotional. But you got to understand something. You're not going to have success if you don't get in the river. Are y'all with me? A while ago, Tracy was making the announcements, and I told her to tell y'all about what Casa Angelina is. And you know, I've been trying to, God's really been working on me to change my thinking, because I say the orphanage, but the truth of the matter is those 123 children, they're not orphans. They're our children. They're our kids. And I look at those kids, you know, as they're ours. They're mine. They're my sons and daughters. And it gets tough sometimes because things happen and it makes me mad. And I don't have a lot of mercy for people that abuse children. I don't. And so I'm pretty swift for justice in that area. Like, take them out back and shoot them. And the problem is, in Guatemala, the officials have already been there and have already told us, said, look, you know, y'all would probably be better off to take them out back and shoot them. And we don't care. And so I'm like, but praise God, Brother Ivan is a godly man, and he keeps me on track. Says I can't do it, even though inside of me I want to. But I know it's not the flow of God. You with me? God is a God of justice, and there always will be justice, and he will have the last say-so in everything that goes on. Amen. They're not going to win. Listen to me. Folks, when you sit around and you see things that look like people get away with something, they do not get away with it. I can assure you, at the end, in the judgment, on the last day, God has his say-so. You see, we look at things, and I'm getting off here, so don't let me run off and you don't get me back straight in just a minute, but we look at things as death being something that's final. But we really need to be looking at, like, death. Death is just like you move to another state. I mean, like, another state. Not, woo, not Star Trek, like, you just went to New Mexico. Because death doesn't end it. It's not over. It's just that you're not living here anymore, but you're living there. Right? So no matter what, you got to give an answer to the king. And Jesus is king, and he is Lord. And everybody's going to give an answer. Everybody's going to have to stand up and give that. Nobody is going to get away with anything. It may be delayed from what we want to see instantly happening now, but they will have to stand before the king and give an account. And, you know, I realize that I have to give an account for my own life, but I look forward to that.
Not necessarily in my own life. I already got that figured out. Told you about that. Just stand there and say, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. And, you know, you're bound to be able to make it through. But I want to see justice done. You know what I'm saying? And it brings joy to me. There's two things I really look forward to. One is that, and the second one is the day that Jesus comes back with his army. Pat, I want to tell you something. We better pray we got a saddle. And we better pray it's a Western saddle, not one of them English saddles and no saddle horn. Because I figured, you know, you're in heaven and you're on a white horse and you got to saddle up and then you got to make that leap from heaven to earth. That is going to be one jump. And I think I'm going to, you know, need to grab hold of something. You know, your mind, I think all kinds of crazy things, you know, and dream about things like that. And I mean, we think, well, if you got your perfect body, you know, well, then, you know, of course you must be a perfect rider or not. I mean, wouldn't it be embarrassing? The army of God saddled up, about to go. You got your sword on and your horse kind of does a little something funny. And let's say you don't even have a saddle. And you slip off bareback in front of Jesus. Oh, that'd be bad. That'd be bad. I guarantee just grab some hair and hold on, man. Get hold. Okay, I'm getting off. There's a river. There's a stream. It's flowing. Okay, one last scripture here. Go to Mark chapter 4. So these things, these obstacles, these things in the river, you know, it could be... Listen, I got to say this. I don't think you were born crazy. And if it offends you that I call you crazy, it just reaffirms that you are. All of us have some crazy in us. I don't care who you are. All right? And you weren't born crazy. You were made crazy through the circumstances of the world, situations that you went through in life. Okay? And what happens to us in life is it's whatever is going to affect your heart. You hear me? Whatever is going to affect your heart. That's what's going to make the difference to you in life. Okay, so Mark chapter 4, let's start in verse 13. Jesus is telling the parable about sowing seed. In verse 13, he says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside. When the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown in their hearts. Where is it sown? The word of God sown in their hearts. The battle that's going on in your life between God and the enemy is, are you going to keep the word that's sown in your heart there? Or is the enemy going to come in through circumstances and situations and root that word out of you so you won't walk in it? The devil's scared of really one major thing in your life, that you grabbing hold of the word of God, believing the word of God, and by faith walking in the word of God. Because if you do, you're going to have victory. You're going to have success. And that's what he doesn't want. So there's a constant battle going on. So you come in here and you hear this message, oh, this is great, yeah. And then something happens this week and makes you mad, or somebody says something, or somebody does something, and then you're mad and you're brooding over it, and then before long you've gotten mad about the whole situation, and you're just calling down fire, wishing, you know, you could just call the fire down and burn them. And then all of a sudden you catch hold of yourself, oh God, what have I done? You know, I've gone over, oh Father, forgive me, I shouldn't have done that. And then you start to think, now what was that pastor preaching on Sunday? You can't remember anymore, it's all gone. It took the word right out of your heart. That's the way it works. That's the simplicity of it. Every obstacle, every hindrance, every, I don't care what it is that's coming into your life, it's trying to steal the word that's being sown in you. Because if you ever believe it, if you ever put faith into the word of God, then instantaneously power and victory is coming your way. It's a battle for the word, man. It's a battle for the word. So, you hear a word. Okay, here's one that happens in all of our lives. You hear Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give in your bosom. But the same measure you met, it'll be measured back unto you. You hear that word, and something kind of sparks on the inside of you. You're like, wow, give and it shall be given unto you. That's the principle of God, sowing and reaping. Wow. Woo! Just coming inside of you, and you're like, oh man, I wanna be a blesser. I wanna be a giver. I wanna see something happen. And then you're like, man, let's step out there. You talk to your husband, you get your wife, and you're back and forth, and you get all excited. You say, well, let's commit. Let's sow $50. Let's just do $50. We'll go, let's find something. Let's just believe God for $50. Boom! Tire blows out on the front of your car. Hello? What's happening? Devils won't steal the words and sow in your heart. He's wanting you automatically, the thing that got you excited and got you stirred up, that little bit of woo on the inside of you, he's going to try to take it away. That's the way it works. It's like we shouldn't say, aw. We ought to say, huh, yeah, that's the way it works. All right, I want to go ahead and sell my $50 and I want to get a new tire anyway. Because the minute you push through, the minute you break that barrier, then things change in your life. Now, see, look what happened. See, he sowed the seed, but it was on stony ground. Satan came immediately to steal it from their heart. Then he goes on and says, these are likewise the ones that are on the stony ground, who when they hear the word of God, immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, but endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So now, it's taking you. See, the first person didn't know what was going on. This guy kind of like sucker punched, and it was taken from him. The second person here, he kind of knows what's going on. He knows that he needs to get the word sown in his heart, but there's the struggle. There's the fight. He understands it, but it's like there's too much. He doesn't have any real confidence in himself. He doesn't really know the word. He's not really confident who he is in Christ. So he gives up. So what happens? Boom, gone. No word in the heart. Back down to just being abused by the devil. You with me? So then it goes on, goes to the third person. It says, afterwards, when they're... Now these are ones sown among the thorns. When the one comes and hears the word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for the things, enter in and choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. So this person had word, got word growing, got word, you know, producing to maturity, but then it choked it. Now what happens when you choke something? You're cutting the oxygen off, right? Right? The source that gives you breath and life. And then what happens when you're being choked? You get lightheaded. You get confused. Get dizzy. Can't walk straight. Right? Because you have a loss of oxygen. And then, eventually, death. So what he's saying is that all of a sudden now you got hold of the word, you sowed the word in your heart, you've been producing some fruit, everything's going along pretty good, but now you start to get sidetracked. The cares of the world, the glitter, the things around you, you get burdened with this and you get burdened with that, and you start taking on these cares, and it's starting to twinkle and distract, And now all of a sudden, you know, you're starting to get choked, you're starting to lose oxygen, you're starting to get confused, and then you just become unfruitful. Your fruit falls to the ground and it rots. And why does all of this happen? It all happens for the simple reason that we have to learn the flow of God. We have to stay in the river of God. We have to stay on track with what God is doing. We have to be constantly learning from Him, constantly overseeing our lives, constantly overseeing our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. You constantly have to be doing evaluations in your life of what's taking place. What are you thinking? What's going on? If you're not, it's going to get root in you. I told y'all starting out this year that I believe 2014 is going to be the greatest year of your life. I think 2014 is going to be a great year. Are there going to be obstacles? You bet. Going to be problems? Yeah. Government going to do something stupid? Always. You going to get mad about something? You bet. I'm not saying there are going to be obstacles. I'm not going to say in 2014 is going to be easier. It's going to get, you know, fly by on marshmallows. But folks, listen to me. Have you ever thought about this? When times are difficult, that's when I've seen the greatest moves of God. When do I see God move in my life? When I've been falling on my face. All I'm saying is that we serve a great God. We serve an amazing God. He's a great God. He'd get us out of anything. It don't make no difference. I mean, if we had to start eating manna from heaven, we'll eat manna from heaven. The jerky sack just never goes dry. Continual fresh pieces of jerky coming out. Never gets hard. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, we serve a God of miracles. We have to be believing in a God of miracles. Don't let the things of this world come in and get sown in your heart so that you're not learning, you're not growing, you're not flowing in the river of God. You have the power to learn, the power to grow. Don't let those things hinder you. Don't let these things stop you. Don't just get in there and say, it just seems like no matter how hard I try, I just don't ever get anywhere. Well, then learn. Maybe you're trying the wrong way. You know? That's like, guys, I got to tell you all this. I'll tell you a story, a learning. On one of the construction sites, we had to dig a hole through the caliche pad, about 3 foot down, a 3x3 hole down in there. And it was already compacted dirt. And so I did as I had been taught. I brought my biggest rock bar. You know, one that's like about 7 foot. You know, big round steel bar. I was going to dig the hole. How else are you going to dig a hole? That's how I dig a hole. So I got that thing. Well, I dug on it for about 4 or 5 hours until I was just plumb wore out and, you know, got about, you know, 8 inches in this 3x3 hole because this stuff is hard as rock. And so this other crew came up on the job and they looked over and they saw me digging. The guy comes over and says, "Here, man, use this." And he hands me this little tool. I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's a little Hilti gun. It'll dig right in there." And I was like, "This thing's not hardly bigger than my drill." And he said, "You just do with this." And so he had a big old spade bit on, put on there. Man, I dug that hole so fast. It was unbelievable. So guess what went on the top of my list? So I started pricing them. They're expensive, you know, brand new. And I wasn't going to pay that for it. So I started praying. I said, "Okay, Lord, man, I mean, I'm a learner, man. I don't ever want to dig a hole with that 7 foot rock bar again the rest of my entire life. I want one of those Hilti guns, Lord." And I prayed and I prayed. So I stopped by a store one day and pull in there and looking around. And all of a sudden I looked underneath the bottom of the shelf and there's a used one sitting there. I pull it out and the guy said, "Hey, what's wrong with this thing?" You know, "No, no." He said, "Cord's messed up on it, a few other things." So I said, "Well, how much you want for it?" It was like an eighth of the price of a new one. And so I said, "You know, I think I'm going to take my chance on this baby." So I bought it, took it home, took it all apart, took it in my shop, dusted everything out of it, got it all, and saw how the wires are messed up, put it all back in, the wire, the thing. Man, it works beautiful. I mean, it's like my golden little baby. Like I tell my son all the time, "Where is that? What are you doing? Did you touch that? Don't leave it alone. You're messing with that. Anything else, but don't touch that." It just made my life simpler. Okay, I could have got the hole dug with my 7 foot rock bar, but after all the blisters wore out, tired shoulders were killing me, everything going on, I didn't know there was that little machine. Are y'all with me? I didn't know it. Folks, all I'm saying is there's things in life that you're doing that is hard. You're trying to live by works. You're trying to please Jesus by doing good deeds. You're trying to make sure that, you know, you don't do the whatever it is, four or five deadly sins. Y'all know what those are, don't you? Drinking, smoking, dancing, and cussing. So if you don't do the four deadly ones, oh my God, then you're going to make it to heaven. And you're just trying to live by works. And folks, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You're wearing yourselves out trying to be good when all God does is want you to love Him and flow with Him. And I'm saying to you today, don't make that mistake. Learn and grow. Let the Spirit of God come in and speak to you. Don't let these places of hard-heartedness come in and be stolen. And the enemy steal the word from you. This is not the day and the time and the hour to be faithless. This is the day and the time and the hour to be faithful. This is the day and time and hour to grab hold of the things of God and to keep your heart with all diligence. It's the most important thing in life. Keep your heart with all diligence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, eyes not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. But then the next verse says, but he does reveal them to us by his Spirit. Let the Spirit of God reveal to you the great things of God. Let the Spirit of God come into your life and just reveal how good he is and that he's not a God of works. And he's not a God of condemnation. But he's a God of grace and mercy. He loves you. He loves you just in the crazy state that you're in. And he wants to help you not be crazy. Amen. Well, do me a favor. Put your Bibles up for just a minute. Now, it's already been announced, but, you know, we do have dinner on the grounds today. And so we're going to go over to the fellowship hall here in just a little bit. Eat together if you want, fellowship together. I encourage you to make a new friend. I encourage you to sit down and discuss and find somebody that, you know, you can have some good fellowship with. We need fellowship, folks. We need fellowship. We need our Christian brothers and sisters. But before we go, before I dismiss the service, we pray over everything and all, I just want to pray for y'all. And I want to ask you just for a minute just to bow your heads and just to look inside your hearts. Because I don't want to miss an opportunity here this morning. If this message is speaking to you and you know that you've gotten hard-hearted in some areas, and you know you need some forgiveness, you know you need to do some forgiving, and this message is hitting you right square between the eyes, and you've let anything happen to you that's hardened your heart, I want to pray with you. Just right there in your seat. I'm not wanting to get you to come up front or anything. I just want to pray for you right there in your seat. But I want to know that I'm speaking to somebody's heart. So just, if that's you and you know this message is hitting you, just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. Okay. So I at least was talking to y'all this morning. So now I want to pray for you. Those of you that lifted your hand, those of you watching by video, listen by audio, hear me now. Receive the grace of God and let Him come into your life. Father, I pray for every person in here, every person listening to the sound of my voice. I pray right now that they would be touched by your Spirit. That the hard places in their life that has hardened them, that has caused them to miss your flow, that it would be removed today, Lord. That by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would show them exactly what they need to do. If it's forgiving somebody, then I thank you, Lord, for that person coming to their minds right now, and they're forgiving them. If it's just life or whatever it be, Lord God, that's caused those obstacles to come in life, that right now they would just be touched by your Spirit because they release it to you. Lord, none of us want to have a hard heart. None of us want hard places in our lives. And right now we just yield it to you and say, Jesus, just soften our hearts. Heal our hearts. Heal our hearts, Lord, today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, can I have my prayer team come down here this morning? And let's everybody stand up. Church, if you need prayer, we have a prayer team here this morning that will be here to pray with you, to encourage you. If you're in here today and you're not ready to meet Jesus, you don't know that if you die today that you are going to go to heaven, you're not sure of your salvation. Listen, if you think Jesus is mad at you today, I'm here to tell you He's not. He loves you. And if you're not sure and you want to be sure, then do not leave this building. But come up and pray with one of these people. Oh, you say, well, that's kind of embarrassing. No, it's not. If it's the difference between heaven and hell, I think I'd be not worried about any embarrassment. Because every person in here, we've all given our lives to Jesus. But if you're in here today and you're not sure of your salvation, well, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're saved. That with the heart one believes and the mouth one makes confession. That's what it's about. It's not church membership. Lord, I can't give you a letter that's going to get you into heaven. And I'd be scared to know what my letter was. It may be an F. But anyway, listen to me. It's real. Jesus is great. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me in life. Amen? But if you want prayer, we're here for you. Grab that person's hand beside you. Father, I just declare today that as we leave this building, that we go out into the world, we go out encouraged, we go out full of faith. We go out with a heart that's soft towards you, Lord. And we just pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that every one of us, as we go out into the world, we're going to have that good word to share with people. I thank you for healing our hearts. I thank you for blessing our lives. I thank you for giving us salvation. And Lord, today as we fellowship together, as we break bread together, I just thank you for blessing all the food and blessing all the hands that prepared it. And Lord, it's given us a great day today of just enjoying your presence in each other. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.